am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.
Hello, everybody. This is Jan Revell, and you're with Purpose Talk Radio on this beautiful July 15th. I'm in Gresham, Oregon. You know me, moving around all the time. So I am today in Gresham, Oregon, where the sun is shining, and it's cooler than it was in Arizona. So I'm feeling a lot better. I hope it's wonderful wherever you are. And I'm glad you could join us today. Our theme song is I Am Who I Am by the group True Trinity. And you can find them and more about the song at truetrinity.com. You can also purchase the song there and download it so you have it for your very own. You can sing it, dance around to it, whatever you feel like. It's a fabulous song, and I just love it and play it quite often, actually. So I want to welcome you again and invite you to join us on Facebook. And somehow I managed to get that Skype thing going again. Gee whiz. I don't know how I do it, but my cursor goes over this advertisement on Skype, and I don't even realize it's doing it. And all of a sudden, this music starts playing. That's not what I'm supposed to be listening to. In any case, so I want to invite you all to join us on Facebook. It's the group Purpose Talk Radio Conversations Group. So if you go on over there to Facebook and you do a search for Purpose Talk Radio Conversations and ask to join the group, Cindy Freeman, our wonderful facilitator, will be absolutely sure to get you in to the group so you can join the conversations that go on during the show and after the show. Today we have two guests with us. We have Amethyst Wildfire, who is an empowered messenger, and we have Diana Daffner, who with her husband is also does retreats for tantric sex for busy couples. So this is going to be a really interesting show because we've got two very, very various guests on the show today. And this is week 5 in our 13-week series for Feminine Spiritual Trailblazers. And each one of these women who are on the show have been interviewed for the book of the same name, Feminine Spiritual Trailblazers. These are contemporary women spiritual leaders. And we're getting to interview each of them on this show, two at a time mostly, so that's really exciting. Today, we have another very special event happening. Today is Positive News Day, and I am sure you have heard from Cindy Freeman, who is part of True Trinity and the facilitator on the radio show here for Purpose Talk Radio. And Cindy is also the founder of Positive News Month and Positive News Day. And I'm bringing Cindy in right now to tell us more about it. So what's this all about, Cindy, this Positive Woo-hoo! News Day?
It's about changing the definition of news and changing the attitudes. We've all heard about bad news sells. It's not bad news sells. It's good news sells, and we're going to change it. So I
right.
Did some stuff a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. How are you going about to change it, the news?
Well, set up a website, set up, like you said, Positive News Day, Positive News Month,
okay.
which is July. And then today being Positive News Day, being a concerted effort for people on Facebook, traditional and citizen journalists are asked to focus on something positive during the day. And sharing those stories out there, preferably, you know, in their own sites and their own things, and then linking them back on the Facebook page, Positive News Day. And also, even better, if you've got longer stories that you want to put, experiences that you've had, put them on the website, positivenewsday.com, all one word, all lowercase.
All right.
And You need a WordPress account, but that's free. You just sign up for our protection for yours as well. They'll send you a password, and then you can put your post in there.
Oh, awesome. So you also have a new theme song for Positive News Day. Is that right?
We do. It was fun. True Trinity cannot, I can't, Jillian can't do something like this without having some kind of music involved in it. So we've just kind of, you know, didn't really throw it together, but, you know, decided that we have to have the music. So, yes, we created this little ditty here that will help people celebrate the day, and we'll be putting it up on the website and also for sale, like all of our other music is. So,
all right, well, let's play it right now. I'm going to start playing it. Enjoy, everybody.
This is breaking news just in. The change has finally come. You can hear the voices on the corner shouting, positive news is here today. Positive news every day for the rest of our lives. I feel the change is coming. I feel the change is coming. I change perspective, I change attitude, I change the world one positive story at a time. I feel the change is coming. I feel the change is coming. I look for the good in everyone, writing about the positive. I'll see the ripple affect the world. I feel the change is coming. I feel the change is coming. One person at a time, one person at a time, one positive story at a time. I feel the change is coming. I feel the change is coming. Believe it, achieve it, it doesn't take long. World peace will come, let all the good be told. I feel the change is coming. I feel the change is coming. One positive news story at a time. I feel the change is coming. I feel the change is coming. Believe it, achieve it, it doesn't take long. World peace will come, let all the good be told. I feel the change is coming. I feel the change is coming. I feel the change is coming.
That's really a pretty good song there, Cindy.
Thank you, thank you. We hope that everybody participates in helping to make this change, and, you know, even a small share is going to send, like the song said, a ripple effect out into the world. And, you know, get a hold of your local media people, too, and let them know, because we still have two more weeks to Positive News Month. And they can all get on board, too. And there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of entities out there that already share positive news. That's not the point. We'd like everybody to kind of focus on it on one day or at one time at least. So we're all on board. Everybody gets a new attitude with everything. That's
all right. All right. That's awesome. Well, thank you very much for sharing that with us. And now I'm going to put you back on, what is it? Mute.
Mute. Bye-bye.
Yeah. But thank you very much. All right. So if you want to share your positive news, then go to positivenewsday.com and share your story there. And also on Facebook, look for Positive News Day page and post your stories there as well. So now I want to offer the card for today, the Oracle card for today. We have a really exciting day today because we've got two speakers who are so very different from each other, which is, of course, my purpose is to see how spirituality in its many different forms all leads to spiritual development. So the card for today relating to the show is called Festival Day, which is very appropriate, I think. And it shows a mother holding an infant child. And around the mother there's an angel standing over her holding a very long taper candle that's lit and burning. And there's lots of color Everybody around her has all kinds of color on them. The angel's wings have lots of color. Then there's another young maiden, mother-to-age maiden, standing over her and holding her hands. They're all holding hands out as in blessing to the mother and the infant. And then there's a young child, a young girl, who is holding flowers that she's offering to the mother and the child and leaning forward and kissing the infant's head. And at the very bottom of the picture are three gnome-type characters. One of them coming in from that would be on my left, is carrying a candle, and tied to the candle is a red tulip, and the candle is lit. In the middle is a shorter gnome. These are all little old gnome guys with long beards and big robes. And this middle one is also carrying a candle with a jonquil and the leaves of it attached to that candle. Again, it's lit, and they're coming in. And on the far right-hand side is a gnome who's a little bit taller than the others. He has a dark red robe on, and he is carrying, it looks like, a tall red tulip. I don't see a candle in his hands. But this is a procession. So this child, this infant, has not only a mother, but an angel, has people guardians, has gnome guardians. So this is bringing in all of the aspects, all of the different aspects of spirituality that we all live with. And it's coming into this infant, and we all really are that infant and the mother. And we're also the ones who are helping other infants grow. So if you've been working in the spirit world at any length, for any length of time, you know very well that you've been helping others as they walk their path. And those who have gone before you have helped you as well and continue to do so. And that's the message of this card. It's a festival day, a day to rejoice. Every day is a day to rejoice. And remember that this is something that is so beautiful, of bringing your spirit and your gift alive to the world. So that is the card for today. Now, if you'd like to call in and talk with my guests or with me, the number to call is 347-205-9074. And if you're outside of the United States or you don't have a phone you want to use, you can connect via Skype. Go to blogtalkradio.com/purposetalkradio and make sure you create a Blog Talk Radio account. It's free. And then you can connect with us via Skype. And you can speak with my guests and or with myself. I want to let you know that you can contact me at jan@purposetalkradio.com. You can also go to purposetalkradio.com and you can find there a list of the guests that we have, the ones that we have scheduled for the future and ones we've already interviewed. You can listen to some of the archived shows there. I try to keep it up to date. I may be a week or two behind, but usually I'm pretty close to being up to date. So you can listen to the shows there as well. So go to purposetalkradio.com. And you can also donate towards the expenses of the show. You can become a sponsor of the show if you would like. And as a sponsor, you get announced just like with Purpose Talk, with True Trinity and the theme song. You get announced at the beginning and the end of the show. You get on our website, on our Facebook page, in the Facebook group. We just promote you all over the place for a very minimal amount. So you can find out more about that at purposetalkradio.com as well. And now I'm going to bring in, first of all, I'm going to bring in Diana. Diana Daffner is my first guest. I'm going to bring her in to start with. I was going to say good morning, Diana, but it's not morning anymore. So hello. How are you? How are you today?
I'm very good. It's the middle of the afternoon here.
Where are you?
I'm in Florida on the Gulf of Mexico coast.
Awesome. Is it beautiful there?
It is. It's an extraordinary location. We're in a place called Siesta Key.
Oh, that's nice. But do you get a lot of humidity there, too, though, don't you, in the summer?
Well, you know, it's perspective, you know. I mean, I wouldn't want to be outside all the time, but we're very close to the Gulf of Mexico, and so there's often a breeze. And
oh, that's nice.
you know, and we do have air conditioning and we have fans, and it's really, I think it used to be a secret, but it's getting out. We're getting quite busy here in the summer.
Okay. So, Diana, tell us a little bit about you. Let's bring Amethyst in, and we'll go ahead and say our greetings, and then each of you can tell me a little bit about yourself. Hi, Amethyst. I bet it's mid-afternoon where you are, too.
Oh, it's a lovely mid-after summer noon. Yummy.
Is it?
I love summer.
And you're on the East Coast as well, right?
I am. I'm in New Hampshire. Hello, Siesta Key. I'm in New Hampshire. And we've had quite a rainy summer, but today is beautiful. I was out weeding my tomato plants before we got on this call. So.
Oh, awesome. So you've had good enough weather to have a garden growing.
Just tomato plants. I don't go for the whole garden. I don't have a big enough piece of property for that, but I do like to have some fresh tomatoes in the fall, and so they needed weeding badly because it's been raining so much.
Oh, no.
Today was a good day to weed, so.
Yeah, okay.
We've got some sunshine, and it's beautiful out, and I'm enjoying just being here with you, and very, very delighted to be here and excited to see where we go from here.
Yeah, this is going to be a really awesome show. I just know it. So I'm going to start with Diana. And Diana, what I'd like to ask you, I'm going to ask you both the same question, but would you tell us to start with a little bit about who you are and how you discovered your passion, and just a little bit more about what your passion is, and then we'll go from there.
Okay, well, big questions. Let's try to keep it sort of short, it sounds like. So, you know, cut me off at any time that we need to move on. Who I am? Well, I am Diana Daffner, and I'm married to Richard Daffner. If anyone in my past is listening, I used to be Diane Weinberg. Okay.
And,
yeah, I don't use that name on Facebook. I love hearing from people from my past and from upstate New York. But I actually changed my first name when I married Richard from Diane to Diana. It
really
went better. It went better with Daffner. Diane Daffner,
yeah.
Diana Daffner.
Well,
and we've been married for 28 years. My life before that, a big chunk had been spent in Northern California, where I was very active in a spiritual training that looked like a martial art called Aikido.
Okay.
Okay, so Aikido is a Japanese martial art, or it's a spiritual training disguised as a martial art, maybe. And I wonder sometimes if, you know, now I'm in marital arts, and then I was in martial arts, whether, you know, the name, the word is the same letters, you know. Maybe I heard it wrong the first time. But anyway, it got changed from martial to marital. And what I loved about Aikido as I'm thinking about it in this moment, was the intimacy of the way you connected with people on the mat. I know that sounds a little odd, but in Aikido, it's like judo, like karate in a sense. You know, I mean, it's a martial art. There's an opponent and a defender in a sense. Only in Aikido, you actually learn to blend with the person who's attacking you. You actually learn to see things from their point of view. You actually learn to center inside yourself and allow that place that contains both of you to take over, in a sense, to arrange the harmony. And the word itself has love in it, actually. I, in Japanese, it's a kanji that one of the meanings is love and harmony. So Aiki is energy, chi, okay, and do is Tao, the way, the Japanese similar to the Chinese. And so Aikido is a beautiful, beautiful way to learn how to be centered in yourself and yet be able to embrace whatever's being thrown at you without attacking it, but embracing it and bringing it to a very peaceful conclusion. Of course, in Aikido, they end up on the mat and you stay standing.
So how does that relate in marital relations.
In marital arts. Well, what's interesting is I met Richard and we fell in love and did the normal pattern or somewhat normal of eventually getting married. We broke up once, actually, before we got married. We did break up once, and I have no idea how we got back together. So we realized we couldn't do that again because we didn't know how to fix it if it happened.
Uh-huh.
But how does it relate? Well, our life started, you know, we felt ourselves to be soulmates, and one thing is so clear that we both have the same worldview. We have from a large perspective, we see things the same. We don't always see things the same in the small, everyday human life, you know, that we have many differences there. And so some of that difference showed up in the bedroom after a while. And it was becoming, you know, as a marriage, as a couple moves on in their life together, often for many couples, the bedroom becomes less of an excitement than it was at the beginning when you're in that courting phase and you're first getting to know each other and there's all that. I think the body, our human system puts out hormones to help us be even more charged when we first meet someone, you know, like, it's excited. There's going to be potentially a mate and potentially create more species, more members of our species, you know. So nature helps
right.
us in the beginning. And then we're left with, you know, the house, the mortgage, the car payments and, you know, the jobs and, you know, all the things, the family, all the things that go along with being a couple. And the bedroom got a bit boring for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I brought it up to Richard and said, you know, I heard years ago of a teaching called Tantra, T-A-N-T-R-A, also a spiritual training, and I've heard that somehow it relates to relationships and sex. It turns out that Tantra really does not have anything to do with that. I'll explain that later. But and I said, you know, maybe, you know, there's another way. I knew about intimacy. I knew about connection because of the Aikido. I knew that when someone grabbed my wrist in Aikido, that I could drop into a place that held both of us. And it was really, it's hard to describe to someone who's never been on the mat, but it's a beautiful beautiful connection, a real resonance between two people. And I wanted to have that in the bedroom. I didn't want to fight. I didn't want to have, you know, a martial art. I didn't want to, you know, be having the actual Aikido going on, but I wanted the soul of it, the heart of it. And
mm-hmm.
I had heard about Tantra, and it was something that two people could do together. And Richard looked at me and said, well, I said, you're probably right, you know, things could be better. But he was kind of pretty much satisfied. Guys are, on the whole, guys are easier to satisfy in the bedroom. You know, we can have a long conversation about that, too. And I'm probably using a stereotype, but in our case, it was certainly true. And so he said, you're probably right, you know. He wasn't really motivated, but it was okay. And he looked at me and he said, but you'll have to take us there.
Uh-huh.
You'll have to take us there. And that kind of pushed me. I was already someone who taught meditation. I was already someone who, I had been teaching Aikido. I had a black belt. So I was already used to being a teacher, a leader in that way. But I had never thought of it in our relationship. And he kind of pushed me and said, you know, you're going to have to find out about more about this and how we can take advantage and make it work for us. And that was kind of really, I think, the push that sent me into this, my passion of wanting to experience intimacy, especially with my own partner, especially when we were being physically intimate.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you've got me intrigued, and I want to hear more, but I also want to hear what Amethyst has to say. So, Amethyst, it's your turn. Would you tell us a little about yourself and your passion and how you discovered your passion?
Sure. Thank you so much for the opportunity. So, I actually had a very interesting life path that led me to where I am. And it's interesting because I think that the Eastern art are such an integral part of opening for people. In your case, it was Aikido. For me, it was yoga. So I was in real estate. I was a real estate developer. I had two partners, and I was building a multi-million-dollar complex at the end of the 90s. And I was a mom, and I was married, and not in a great relationship. And I ended up injuring myself skiing. And after I went through the rehab, I started a yoga class. And within weeks of starting that yoga class, things started to shift for me significantly internally. And I started to loosen up and open up in more ways than one. And as a result of that yoga class, I actually, the teacher, when I went in the first time to that class, she literally emanated the energy of peace. And it was so foreign to me in my life at that time, but it was so palpable coming off of her that I had an instant moment of clarity, and I said, that's what I want. I want what she has. I want that peace. And literally from that day forward, I began a journey of figuring out what brought me closer to peace and what took me away from it. And one of the things that happened on that journey was I actually opened up to being able to express myself in the world in very powerful ways. And I ended up, not too shortly after I started the yoga class, making the decision to end my relationship with my husband, went through a year-long divorce process. At the end of that, I realized I needed to end my relationship with my business partner. And during all of that time, I was opening more and more and more to spirit and becoming more of a channel for spiritual messages and inspiration and motivation to come through me. And I did a lot of playing in that first couple of years. I spent a lot of time on the floor talking with angels and channeling spirit and doing automatic writing and really just learning how to open up that channel so that I could connect with this higher source of inspiration. And as a result of that, I went on, I became a healer. I had many additional kind of spiritual awakening moments that started in the yoga class and have continued to this day. I keep having spiritual awakening moments. So, like, you just did this oracle card, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I really needed to hear that today. Thank you, Jan. I really appreciate that because I'm in a spiritual awakening moment right now as a mother of a 17 and almost 18, actually, he's almost 18-year-old boy, and I'm in a space where I'm going to also want to use some of that Aikido wisdom to hold him and put him on the floor at the same time.
That's a challenging time, yes, sir.
Yeah, so, and so my journey has really led me to become someone who serves people in helping them to find their voice, helping them to get clear on their own message, helping them to open up to express themselves more fully. And because I had so many years of entrepreneurship, I really serve well in the entrepreneurial realm, helping visionary entrepreneurs with a big, powerful message to prepare to be heard, both internally as well as practically. And that's been another, like, interesting journey. How do you go from completely rational? I mean, I was a real estate developer, to completely woo-woo. I turned into a shamaness and a crystal healer and, a channel for spirit. And how do you marry those two together and bring them into some kind of a divine union and then serve it out into the world in a way that will allow you to deliver your gifts and bring money and wealth into my own home and into my own business so that I can create more and serve more. So that's kind of my purpose journey in a nutshell up until this moment, and I know that it's continuing to evolve and flower and unfold. So,
right. That's pretty amazing that you were able to marry the two, to have a marital art between the rational and the woo-woo. That's a challenge
really
for a lot of people.
I think that's what we're here to do, actually. We are really mm-hmm. here to fully embody our spirit and to marry, you know, our inspiration with our perspiration. And when those two things come together, then the fruits of that union are really just delicious and quite attractive for most people. You know, when somebody
right.
can really crystallize their own dream and their own vision and their own message in a way that moves other people to do the same, well, that's just, I mean, that doesn't get much better than that in my mind.
So if you had, and I'm going to ask you both this, if you had one tip for people who were just beginning that journey of integration between the rational and the woo-woo or the spiritual, what would that tip be? And this is for somebody who's... Sure. Yeah, that would be great.
Okay. So the one tip that I think is probably the most important is to find ways to affirm yourself and your experience by seeking out mentorship and community with others who are also having similar experiences. And that's what's beautiful about the yoga community is, you know, everybody's awakening and opening their physical mm-hmm. bodies as well as their mind, body, spirit. And that was a starting community for me. And as I've grown and evolved, I have found many other communities and many other mentors to assist me on the way. So I think it's super important to seek out affirmational experiences so that you don't think you're crazy, because I will tell you there were plenty of times during the first, you know, 6 or 8 months after, especially after I left my old business, which, you know, I was in real estate. It was a $10 million project that we had just done, and I had no money coming in for quite a while I did my spiritual work, while I did my inner work, and there mm-hmm. were many moments when not only was I receiving a lot of outward criticism and, you know, kind of guilting from people who, quote-unquote, loved me and wanted only the best for me and wondered what happened and did I lose my mind, but I was also kind of in that space myself periodically, especially when the bills would come due, of I've got to be out of my freaking mind here. But,
yeah.
you know, in the end, because I had community and because I sought out mentorship on a regular basis and still do to this day, I'm a mentor and I have mentors.
Right.
Because of that, I was able to move through that process without putting myself in the nut house.
Don't you think that some of that, what we perceive as criticism or unhelpful suggestions, come from the other person's feeling of fear? Fear. I could never do that. Oh, my God, I would just be too scared to do that. Aren't you just terrified, and how can you possibly do that?
Oh, well, no doubt. Of course it's fear. You know, whatever isn't love is fear. And oftentimes people express their fears and in the confused belief that that they are loving you.
Yeah, yeah. Diana, you were going to jump in there with something.
The same thing. I was, you know, I mean, she's right. I mean, it's either love or fear that we express in some way. We don't always know that that's where it's coming from. We often, it masquerades as love. You know, we're going to protect you and we want this for you. And it is wonderful and so important to find those affirmations, both from outside, but also to acknowledge our own affirmation, to learn to trust ourselves, to learn to trust mm-hmm. something in us, the most, you know, the most centered part. And so that's why any kind of training that helps us become centered is really valuable, so that we can distinguish between our own frightened voices and the part that can stand firm and where we're going. When I began my spiritual path in a way, there really wasn't a lot out there. It was a smaller community to find people in. In fact, I had my first real spiritual awakening, I guess I would call it, when I was 16. And I had no idea what it was. I didn't even know, I didn't know if anybody else had ever really experienced a moment like that. And I kept mm-hmm. thinking, well, it must be, maybe it's religious, and I would find it in, you know, in the temple, in the, you know, at services somewhere, and it wasn't there. It took a while for me to sort out that, you know, what it might be and how to get there. The Eastern teachings have been wonderful for our time, for since the 60s and 70s and 80s and all these times coming forward, that the ancient Eastern teachings really had have a gift to give us, and it's wonderful that it's so much more available now.
I remember as a young person also that I grew up in a conservative Christian church, and when I began asking questions, then I became a threat, which was something that was so stunning. I mean, I was stunned that anybody would think they'd known me most of my life, and all of a sudden I was a threat because I asked a question. So I was really grateful, as you said, to find some of the Eastern teachings that were a lot more open and a lot more extended, and encouraged you to ask questions and to grow.
And so, that supported change and support the idea that things are in motion, you know, not static.
Yeah, I think that's a hard part for a lot of people, is that change, and because it is scary. You know, it's like the whole thing with Amethyst and people making those suggestions to her, because it's you're getting out of the static, you're changing, you've got fluidity going on and flex going on that is pretty scary to a lot of people.
And it takes great courage to do that.
It does. So how did you, Diana, when you got into the Tantra, and would you explain a little bit more about that? Because that, for a lot of people, even today, is very different and very much of a change from our, I'm going to say typical, but I mean conservative Western upbringing.
Conventional, maybe, I suppose.
Okay.
You're right. I mean, the Tantra, as far as I understand it, you know, and it's hard to really understand history at a certain point, because, I mean, even things that happened, you know, recently here in my life, I'll read things or talk to people and I realize what I saw happen or what happened isn't what is being considered what happened now, if you know what I mean. Things, you know, the reporting of things is like the telephone, little telephone game, you know, things change. But my understanding is that thousands of years ago, there were people who had spiritual awakenings, and which would be, you know, par for the course for human beings, and they began to challenge what was the more traditional, conventional, conservative religious beliefs of the time, and this teaching became called Tantra. Tantra, really, the word itself really means teachings. It's one of the words. It's also it's a word that's used in the weaving industry, and so some people talk about Tantra meaning to weave or to expand or to reach out in some way. And they began to feel, sense, understand that spiritual joy, spiritual bliss, spiritual ecstasy isn't something outside of ourselves. It's something that lives within us, and it's not based on rules and regulations and caste systems and what you should eat and what you shouldn't eat. And so they began doing lots of things that were a bit against the convention. And when they began to look inside and discovered that, wow, there's all this energy here, you know, and they discovered that this energy within them is their life force, is divinity, is the same force that holds the planets together. It's everything. It's just everything. And sex came into play not because Tantra is a teaching about sex at all. It came into play with it for some of the Tantra teachings Because if you look inside the body to ride energy, to feel energy, what is more powerful than orgasm and orgasmic energy? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's our ultimate. And so they turned, some of the Tantra teachings turned toward the sexual sexual activity, arousal, orgasm, as not for its own sake and not for the release of pressure and not for the satisfaction of a sexual urge, but as a way to get in touch with their spirit, their soul, and this universal spirituality. And so that's it really was not also not about relationship any more than yoga, even though yoga talks about union. In fact, yoga, I believe, some of us believe, that yoga itself, the hatha yoga positions, may have been created by tantra-type teachers who were looking for a way to help the body be open to all this energy they were exploring, because it makes the flexibility and the openness to receive and experience all that energy safer, okay, and more wonderful. The reason Richard and I we went in another direction, interestingly, because yes, Tantra is very associated with yoga, and I've done yoga in countless years, started yoga a zillion years ago. Richard still does yoga now, actually. But it didn't really feel like our teaching path. It's never been my my path, per se. But Tai Chi, after I met Richard and I was no longer teaching Aikido, I came across a very easy-to-do Tai Chi practice, kind of a Qigong, an energy practice created by a man named Justin Stone, and it was called Tai Chi Cha. And Tai Chi Cha is a series of very easy-to-do movements, and you repeat each movement over and over, so it's not a complicated art to do like many of the more traditional Tai Chi programs are. And we loved sharing it with couples because we loved the idea of helping couples get into that Tai Chi state of mind. Again, it's that centering, it's that opening to the presence within. And then gradually we started facing each other and having the couples face each other, and we started emphasizing the idea that we are lovers and that we want to open our sexuality and be connected at the heart and open to the spirit. And so we created a whole new art form called Tantra Tai Chi and put together these teachings from different parts of the world, although all Eastern originally. I forgot the question, did I?
Well, that sounds pretty fascinating, actually. Who is it that created this Tai Chi Cha?
Tai Chi Cha was created by a man who just recently passed away in his 90s named Justin Stone. And he was teaching traditional Tai Chi, the martial art, from China, and he was teaching it at, I think, the University of Arizona, actually. And he found that a lot of people would do it for a while, but there was a high, what's it called when people stop doing things?
Attrition.
Yeah, there's a high attrition rate. It's complicated, it's hard to keep up and everything. But they would always remember the warm-up exercises. And that was kind of interesting. They always remembered the warm-up exercises. And then somewhere along the line, it came to him, he describes it in quite a spiritual way, actually, this set of movements that are more like warm-ups than actual Tai Chi training and very easy to do. And he found that people could remember them, and they're very quick at helping you get centered and experience a flow of energy. Because I came to it with this background of a black belt in Aikido and all these years of meditation training, and I thought that it was great for me because I had all that background. But then I found that other people just starting it were having similar experiences, and I realized this is a really cool practice. So I started doing it. Richard started doing it with me. He was an interesting case because meditation, although he believes in it and he supports the concept, sitting meditation, sitting, closing your eyes and not moving, does not fit well for him.
That's hard for a lot of people. Yeah,
it is. So we were one time doing one of these moves. I can picture us in our apartment, and we were living in Manhattan at the time, and we're doing this move, very easy move, and we're standing, and the body is kind of shifting from one leg to the other, and the hands are moving in a very easy circular movement, repetitive, and all of a sudden he looks at me and he goes, "Oh, now I know why you want me to stay awake during meditation. That was wild, huh?
Yeah.
So I thought, wow, this is really cool. So both of us actually became Tai Chi Chuan teachers after that, and then it evolved into this the couples work for us became a passion. About 20 years ago, over 20 years ago. We were in between. He had sold a business in Manhattan, and we were in a great place in our lives where we could live anywhere and do anything, at least for a while. And we decided to do something that was going to benefit couples, because it was a time when there was a lot of emphasis on self-benefit, a lot of how to improve ourselves. There didn't seem to be a lot at the time about relationships. You know, we're going back, as I said, over 20 years. Now there's tons and tons of workshops and people offering training and help for relationships. But we would go on vacation and we would see people who didn't seem happy together, you know. Mm-hmm. And we wanted actually, that's really always been my passion. I remember being a little girl and I would smile at people. You know, this is Cindy's thing with her positive news. You know, I loved smiling at people to get them to smile back. I just thought a smile was, people needed to smile. It was really important. And that little girl's still there in me.
Mm-hmm. I told some our listeners recently that I was shopping one day and my cart, I was coming up one row and somebody was coming the other direction, and so I stopped to let her go by, and I looked up and I smiled at her, and she just scowled at me as she went charging on by. And I thought, well, you really need a smile. So I smiled at her and I said, I'm sending you lots and lots of love, as she went striding away. But, you know, I think people need a smile, whether it's to their face or to their back. It doesn't matter. Well, there's a question I'm going to ask Amethyst in just a minute, but I want to ask you the same question. What are the top, let's say two or three challenges that you find you have with people who are learning this, or the people have that they're trying to, why do they come to you? What are the challenges that they face the most?
Are you asking me?
Yes, Diana, please.
Oh, okay. What are the challenges they're facing the most? I would say they're wanting something more in their relationship. They're wanting more joy. They're wanting something, and they may now. We get a number of couples come to our. We do workshops for couples only, and most of them are in good stable relationships. It's not we don't do. We occasionally do special workshops for couples who don't feel they're so stable in their relationship. But on the whole, most of our retreats, the intimacy retreats, are attractive to couples who, and things are going well, but they have the feeling, like I did in my relationship back then, that, you know, there's something more. And when it comes to the bedroom, it could either be that one of the people wants more bedroom activity, more sexuality, or maybe they're having sex, but they're not really connecting in a way that one of them knows they could be, or maybe it's not really about sex at all. It's just something is, you know, just wanting to celebrate on another level. And even more importantly, what I love is we get a lot of couples who come to our intimacy retreats who aren't, you know, most of them aren't really suffering. They're being proactive, you know. They want to learn something that's going to make it better. I love when we get newly married or new couples who come, and they're in a mix with couples who've been together for 30 years, and they're all there for different reasons.
That sounds really great. So when I find a partner and get married, I'm going to be there. I'll be one of the newly married.
I support that.
So Amethyst, you have dealt a lot with helping people, like you said, to express their gifts and to be able to make money while they're doing it. So what are the biggest challenges the top three challenges that you faced with people trying to ask for money?
Well, so first of all, I think what happens for a lot of people when they become a messenger is they really feel this urge to share their gift, and they just really want to share as much as they possibly can with as many people as they possibly can. And so they end up in the challenge of what I call the challenge of the overgiver. And what ends up happening is they give so much that they end up not, their audience ends up not feeling hungry for more, not feeling any need to take anything more away in the form of something that they might pay for. So a big challenge that I see happen with a lot of messengers is that they have this overgiving. And it was something that I faced in my own business, and I've helped a lot of my clients with it. And part of the work is really learning how to regulate the flow, how to share your message in what I call digestible bites. It's like the mama bird who is chewing up the food for the baby bird. So when you are able to package your message in a way that you are giving it to your audience in digestible bites, just enough so that they understand exactly what it is that you're here to serve them with, but also so that they understand there's so much more that you can offer them, then they are open to receiving that offer. And when you're all, you know, kind of giving, when you're flowing the energy outwardly all the time, there's no space for the energy to come in and for you to be able to receive the exchange in the form of money. So that's number one. The first challenge that I see happen is the challenge of the overgiver. And this happens a lot with people who are spiritual. It happens a lot with people who are healers. It happens a lot with people who are women. Women seem to have this challenge a lot.
Right.
And because of that challenge, they end up not only feeling like they're giving their all and not getting anything in return, but also financially, it ultimately, at the end of the day, isn't sustainable unless you are being underwritten by someone else. And a lot of times what happens, what I see a lot of times in relationships, is the husband will be underwriting the wife's little thing that she's doing over there, or, you know, you're underwriting it with your own savings, your own credit cards, your own home equity, all of those things to build, to put into place all the things that you need in order to have a thriving business. And ultimately, at the end of the day, a business only thrives when it is receiving the fuel that runs it, which is money. So the challenge of the overgiver is one. The second challenge that I see happen with a lot of messenger entrepreneurs is the challenge of being attractive and pursued. And what happens for people when they become activated as a messenger is that it also activates this kind of larger old messenger archetype. The old messenger archetype is the one where if you have a big, powerful message of change, you're going to be persecuted, prosecuted, or executed for bringing that message out into the world. We even have a colloquialism: don't shoot the messenger, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the, you know, one of the most well-known Western messengers, the Master Jesus, was crucified, according to the mythic map that we're working with, for bringing a message of love and healing. So anybody who's bringing a message of love and healing has that messenger archetype to transcend in order for them to be able to really get their message out into the world in a powerful way. And being attractive and quite literally being pursued is actually what you want to have happen in your business. But when I remember when I heard the word pursuit, that you want to be pursued, like all the hairs on the back of my neck went up. I was like, no, I don't want to be pursued. No, I don't want to be pursued. Because for me, that feeling of being pursued had very negative connotations. And so, and I think that that is true for a lot of people. And I think a lot of the messengers that I work with are people who have huge challenges that they've overcome in life. Sometimes they've overcome abuse. I had one messenger that I worked with for a little more than a year, and she was sexually abused from the time that she was a tiny, tiny child, and in fact was even prostituted by her father and grandmother. And because of our work together, she was able to come to a place of forgiveness. She was able to hold those two people in her heart, and she's now helping other messengers and other people through her own work, healing the hearts of child abuse. So, but, you know, without being able to be attractive and feel safe being pursued, that would have been a challenge for her to bring her gifts of healing out into the world. So a lot of times people who have these big messages have gone through some pretty horrific experiences in their lives, which really were the grist or the grit that allowed them to create the pearls of wisdom that they have to offer. So the challenge of being pursued is the second one. And then the third one is the challenge of mastering power. And this is when you really get to the place where you start to claim your own value and you do start to attract people and you are no longer overgiving, and now all of a sudden money is coming to you. Not just money, but the energy and attention of these clients and these people who want more. They want more of you, what you have to offer. They want more of what you have to say. So now we're in that space of, oh, my goodness, a lot of times what I see messengers do is literally, like, they figuratively, in the mind's eye, what I see when I'm working with them is they have their hands up and they're putting, like, the stop sign up. Like, no, I can't manage this. And so this challenge of mastering power and learning to allow yourself to receive the value equivalent to what it is that you have to offer and valuing yourself appropriately. So a lot of women, and I work mostly with women, although I do have a few very wise men, a lot of women that come to me to do some VIP work with me around claiming their value, oftentimes by the time we're done with our work together, they will have added a zero onto the end of whatever it was that they were charging.
All
and
right.
And will have significantly shifted their money experience, and really they start to get the true value of what it is that they have to offer. And when we learn how to master power, so I'll share one of my clients, Lisa Sasevich. She had just gone from a six-figure business owner, like $150,000 a year, she made a sudden quantum leap into the seven-figure range. And at that kind of right around that moment, she ended up coming to work with me specifically around this area of mastering power and being able to step into a leadership role and hold the energy of that space, which is a significantly bigger space than our own personal needs.
Right.
And I actually was, she has written something about that work with me, and she said that this work allowed her to more freely step into her own power and her own leadership ability. And then from there, she was able to double her seven-figure business.
Wow.
Just being able to hold the power in that new way, just being
right.
able to understand how to manage and master not only her own power, but really it's the power of the message that wants to come through you and the people who need to hear that message and receive it from you and exchange money with you for that for that process.
Well, I don't know about the two of you or our listeners, but to me, both of what you are both saying has so much commonality that it's really, I guess it's surprising in a way to me, because I didn't expect to have what you're saying be quite that.
The interesting thing, Jan, is that the sexual chakra and the throat chakra are intimately interconnected. So in our sexual chakra,
okay.
That's where all of the creative energy is held, right? So I actually think it was divinely inspired that you put the sex lady on with the money lady and the message lady, you know, money message lady, because our creative energy is in our belly. It's in our sexual chakra. It's in our sacral. But our creative expression comes out through the throat. So if I had to identify myself and my work with only one chakra, it would be the throat. Just okay. Like Diana's, you know, her work is mostly with the sacral chakra. Although I'm sure both of us in our work, the work that we're doing with the people that we're serving, are using our gifts to address energy imbalances and also practical guidance in every energy center. And so for me, it's not just about working with the energy. It's let's work with the energy in a way that will allow us to have the practical results that we want to have manifest in the world. So if you have this huge message, and for me, my message, I knew I was here to serve millions of people. And many of my most invested clients are the ones who are clear that they're being called to serve millions of people. And in order to be able to do that, there are very practical pieces that need to be put into place in your life and in your business so that you can actually make that happen. You can actually create the structure within which that happens. So I do teach and serve and support my people practically, but I also know that the practical piece is literally, it's 10%. It's the tip of the iceberg. Whatever is showing to the outside world is literally the tip of the iceberg. And the deeper work is the 90% that's below the surface. And it's all the inner work around standing in your power, speaking your truth, owning your capacity to lead, being able to claim and receive money in a way that is empowering and allows you to be in right relationship with money, being able to collaborate with other people and have them come together behind a common vision, being able to own your visions and not think you're crazy for seeing these dreams and these visions that you have. So, you know, I've just kind of pretty much gone up and down almost the entire chakra column, just telling you some of the things there that I see people get challenged by when they get activated as a messenger. And it is doing that internal work that will allow you to then create practically whatever it is that you want and will allow you to deliver it with the greatest degree of ease and grace and harmony. Because if you are putting a message out into the world, don't you want to be sending out also with that message the energy? For me, at least I want to send out the energy of beauty and peace and healing and harmony and joy and thriving. Whenever I speak, it's not just my words. Whenever I write, it's not just what I've written. Whenever I create, whether it's a piece of art or a piece of music or whatever it is that I create that I use to then express myself, is all coming out with a greater, a larger intention. And with the energy behind that intention, my desire is to awaken and open hearts that want to receive that beauty, that harmony, that joy, that peace. So, you know, there's a million different business building places that you can go to. There's thousands of different mentors and coaches that will give you the cookie cutter step by step. This is the things that you need to do in order to do your business. And if you don't have that inner work piece, and I've seen it many times in mentorship programs that I've been enrolled in myself, where 80% of the people, by the time they're done with the mentorship program, they just kind of just disappear. Mm-hmm. They don't really ever do anything. And 20% of the people are creating massive success. Well, it's not the program, because everybody's getting the same kind of cookie cutter information. It is the inner piece that happens or doesn't happen that creates the difference. And that's one of the reasons why the people that I work with my work is all about building that bridge between the spiritual and the practical. There's a reason why I was in real estate for 20 years, right? So all of that came back in, and my work is really about bridging that spiritual and practical in the most seamless way possible, so that when my people are finished with working with me, they're empowered rather than feeling disempowered that there must be something wrong with them, that they couldn't figure out this puzzle piece, how all these puzzle pieces went together, right?
Right. So, Diana, let's get you involved in this conversation here, too, about the spiritual and the practicality.
Well, I was listening to Amethyst, and, you know, the word money and the word love could so easily be substituted, you know, the word love for money. And she's talking about standing in your own power and opening your capacity to receive. Well, you know, we use the same language almost, right, with, you know, talking about receiving love.
Right.
I mean, we get a lot of couples who come here who to the intimacy retreat. Some people ask, you know, is it the man who signs up? Is it the woman? And we have same-sex couples as well. It's not only heterosexual, it's predominantly, because Richard and I are, but it's not only. You know, often, you know, they say, well, who, you know, which side of the couple signs up? And we don't always know, and we don't always ask, because sometimes the person who contacts us isn't the one who actually was the instigator. And yet what I find sometimes is that there might be someone, a woman, let's say, who really wants, you know, she thinks she wants more activity in the bedroom and a little more action, and so this sounds like something she's going to bring her guy to, and, you know, and they show up, and it turns out that her ability to receive love is the place where she needs to really move into. So it is similar in a lot of ways.
So another question that came up for me while Amethyst was talking was, when you are dealing with these Tantra workshops for couples, how does that also play out in the rest of their lives? Does it show up in other areas of their lives, and how does that work?
Well, I can talk about how it shows up in our life, the approach that we've taken to embracing what we call loosely tantric sex. One of my challenges, you know, according to the way Amethyst is laying them out, is probably affected by that persecution thing of, you know, kind of hiding a bit behind the wall, you know, not quite wanting to let people know what I'm talking about. And so I wrote a book about our Tantra Tai Chi and about the workshops, about what we do at the workshops, and you know, a lot of other things that are true, you know, dear to my heart, right? And I called the book Ceremonies for Love, How to Create Intimacy in Your Relationship, because that's what I'm about. And, you know, a lot of people say, oh, that's a great title. Well, a publisher was interested in my book, didn't like the title. And I wanted to be published. I thought it was a great honor, and even though I know self-publishing is certainly a fine path today. This is 4 years ago, and I was very happy to have a publisher, and I said, okay, I will let go of my need for my title and allow the book to go out into the world. And he created the title, Tantric Sex for Busy Couples, How to Deepen Your Passion in Just 10 Minutes a Day.
That's pretty powerful.
It's a very powerful title. And it felt like it brought me out of the closet. In a sense, you know, he was a mentor, you know, not knowingly, you know, a mentor in that way, because he did bring me out of the closet and say, because I didn't even use the word sex that much, because I didn't want my emails to get spammed. I was early on the internet. I've had an internet presence since the 90s. Originally our website was lessonsinintimacy.com, which still exists, and I have moved to intimacyretreats.com. It never would have occurred to me to even call it tantric sex, because in some sense there really isn't such a thing. I mean, there's sexual, there's a sexual arena in which you can practice and play with and benefit from the principles of tantra. And I suppose that makes it tantric sex. I mean, it's, you know, even the word tantric is not really a tantric, a Sanskrit word. It's just an adjective, an English adjective. But anyway, there we went. And I came out of the closet and realized that I, you know, this was my message. Thank you for that language. Yeah, and I think another thing I wanted to comment on about going, you're saying how it affects us. So Richard and I live within this. We walk our talk. We love our talk. We engage. We do have a daily practice. I wanted the book subtitle to say, I asked the publisher, could it be How to Deepen Your Intimacy in Just 10 Minutes a Day? And he said no. He wanted that word passion, which is a very powerful word and maybe less understood, maybe not, but more comfortable for people maybe than intimacy. And but for us, it is something I wrote strongly about in the book, that we do take 10 minutes a day to come together in a very sexual way. We call it peaceful passion. It's not your conventional sexual activity, yet it is clearly sexual, and it raises our life force, our energy, and it energizes us. And so we glow all day long. I mean, that's got to be a practical result. And we have lots of juice and energy to do all the other things we want to do and to make choices that support our happiness.
Yeah. Do you find by that glow that people are attracted to you?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, often, you know, when people glow, you can always tell when somebody's in love, and there's almost this magnetic attraction to go up and be in their presence.
There is, and that's why we encourage couples when they leave here to continue the practices and to do it, because they're benefiting not only themselves, they're benefiting not only their own families who can bask in that glow, but it actually, I believe it travels way beyond, you know, kind of in the way you were, you know, attempting to influence the woman in the market. I think that simply by our presence, we influence the world. And I had this vision once, and I later actually heard that it was in the, I think, the Hindu religion. It's called the Web of Indra. I didn't know that at the time. And I had this vision of the globe, the planet, with like a maze around it, not a maze like a labyrinth, but more like a net, you know, like a net all around it.
Right.
Web all around it. And at each intersection of the web, at each intersection, there was a couple. And there was a couple deeply looking into each other's eyes, making love, being connected, being intimate for that moment. And it was like the more there were of those, each of those, the love rained down into the planet. So, like, we all have a global duty to be part of that web and to take our turns to show up for our shift, if you will, to be putting more love into the universe, into the planet, into for everyone, because we all benefit. We are truly all related. A lot of our work is not only based on Eastern teachings, but also Native American. And other Western teachings. We pull from. We're very eclectic in how we created our program.
Multidimensional.
And the Native American concept of, you know, everything being related. You know, I sometimes have the sense though we're one big squabbling family. You know.
Well, you know, that leads right into a question about communication, because it seems like, for what both of you are talking about, but I want Diana to answer this first, please, is it seems to be mostly communication. So how does the intimate relationship work that you do help with communication in, for instance, the workplace? Does it help people be able to improve that arena of their life? Or have you even noticed that?
Oh, you know, Richard has often said, you know, this is my workplace. And so, I don't have a life that's not steeped in this work. I don't have a separate work that's totally different. But Richard has said he feels it's made him softer and kinder, which is interesting. Okay. Tantra is really, when we look at the way we make love using these principles, there is an awakening of the feminine spirit. It's the feminine not only in her strength, but also in her softness and in her ability to receive love and in her ability to open to all that is and in her ability to be one with another. And that's a very beautiful, powerful thing, I think, to take into the workplace.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I realized.
Go ahead. Sorry. I was wondering if you had heard, like, from any of your clients, if that had impacted their lives outside of their relationship, their personal relationship with each other in other relationships. It seems to me it would kind of like Tai Chi does. You know, I remember in after having taken Tai Chi for a while, that somebody, I was coming out of one door and somebody was coming in, and it was like a dance. The movement was just gently moved out of their way so they could flow right on by without any thought of, oh my gosh, coming to a sudden halt, you know, because somebody was coming. So I'm wondering if that kind of flow is, because it is part of, my understanding is it's part of what your work is, if that then helps people in other areas, other aspects of their lives. I'm just making an assumption that it would.
Well, you know, I don't like assumptions particularly, but yeah, and right. Yes, it probably, I think it's more on the level of self-love and how important that is. And if you're going to increase your net worth, you have to have a lot of self-worth. And self-worth and happiness within has to overflow and help guide you in making the choices that you make and in your business arena as well. You know, one of my favorite stories is not about work, but someone wanting to share the teachings, not necessarily the strictly sexual part of our teachings, but the understandings and the Tantra Tai Chi. One of our clients, a couple who've been to several workshops, we do a lot of weekends. We've done them all over the country. We live in Florida, so most of them are in Florida. However, we have been known to do them elsewhere in many places. And we've been doing them for over 15 years. And we also have been doing, for the last 10 or 12 years, been doing week-long workshops in Mexico and in the winter, because Richard likes to get away from Florida. It's too cold in the winter, he says.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. That sounds funny in New Hampshire, I'm sure. But
yes.
I'll have to come
down to your house and house sit while you guys are in Mexico. How's that?
It's a possibility. Right. It's definitely a possibility. So this particular couple has been to a couple of our workshops in the week-longs in Mexico, and they were visiting in Florida their parents. And the parents were in the 70s, around 70 or so, and they must be in their, you know, late 40s, 50s. And their three children, all in their 20s, with their, each of them having partners, not married, but boyfriend, girlfriends, all of them were visiting here in this area at the grandparents, and the couple we know brought them all over for a private evening session to share their work with them, because they really believe that it is something that everyone, not just couples, but that everyone should have an open eye to and understand what's going on. So that was that was really nice.
So if you could offer our listeners just a couple of one or two steps of things that they could do to open up in their own, let's just say, an intimate relationship within themselves, what would you suggest? What would a couple of those steps be? Are there any basic steps that you start with that you can offer?
One
I'm putting
of the
you
things-
on the spot here, I know.
You are. One of the things that couples react to often quite strongly and surprisingly is simply making eye contact with their partner for any more than a moment. And to really actually pause and look into each other's eyes. And that, over and over again, I keep hearing how that was the most powerful thing for them, that they hadn't looked into their partner's eyes since, you know, like that, since their wedding day, and that to me is powerful. And on an individual basis, when I do work with individuals, and I sometimes do, I have a private practice as well, primarily with couples, but sometimes also with individuals. And one of the things I will have people do is look into a mirror, look into their own eyes in a mirror. It's something I do on a pretty regular basis. And, you know, it's not just looking in the mirror, looking at your hair. I can forget to look at my hair or my eyebrows or, you know, I can forget to look at those aspects of myself, because often when I look in the mirror, I'm looking into my eyes. Mm-hmm. And when you first do it, you will find it quite strange probably. that person in there, behind those eyes, looking back at you from the mirror, is the most loving person that you will ever find. It is in there. All the love you've ever wanted, all the power, all the success, everything that you've wanted, the admiration, the appreciation, it's really there if only we allow ourselves to receive it from ourselves.
It is. I remember the first time that I looked in the mirror and looked in my eyes, and how many years I had looked in the mirror and never once looked in my eyes, and all of a sudden I did, and it was pretty uncomfortable. It took some practice to be able to do that and to hold that connection with my own self, never mind with somebody else.
It's all uncomfortable. If it weren't uncomfortable, they wouldn't be coming to our workshops, and they wouldn't be going to Amethyst for mentoring. You know, if it were easy to stand in our own power, if it were easy to open up to the flow of the message to open up to the love, to open up to what we want. For some reason, I mean, it is easy. I'm not saying it's hard. For some reason, it takes training. It takes a certain willingness to go through that uncomfortable place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to speak to that training piece.
You what?
I said I would like to speak to that training piece that she just mentioned.
Yeah, please. Please do.
Because it does take training. So one of the reasons I think that people have such a hard time connecting in the way that we were just talking about, that, you know, either intimately in their love relationships or intimately in any other relationship, is that we have been conditioned societally to disconnect from our own source, right, mm-hmm. pretty much from the get-go. And because of that conditioning that we've received, when someone comes along into our presence who is connected to their own source and is in their own power and has gone through a variety of initiations and trainings and so forth to be able to do that, and has shed all of the cultural and societal and familial conditioning that they grew up with, then it can be very intimidating to be standing in front of somebody or on the receiving end of someone who has gotten to a place where they understand how to manage and master their own power.
Mm-hmm.
And it is an evolving process. I mean, it's a continuously evolving process. It's like, you know, I liken it to the acorn and the oak tree. The acorn has no idea that it's going to become an oak tree, but the oak tree is already in the acorn. And every year, the oak tree grows more and more and gets taller and taller and wider and bigger, and so do we. And part of what happens for people when they come into, like, I had a spiritual awakening. And these ancient teachings, my grounding was in yoga, but then I was supplemented with crystals. And a friend of mine taught me how to make jewelry. And because she taught me how to make jewelry with natural stones, the stones themselves started to work with me. And, you know, nature herself can teach you. The stones mm-hmm. can teach you, the plants can teach you, the trees can teach you, the bees and the animal people can teach you. And there's so much wisdom just in nature that we are literally disconnected from. And I think more and more each day we are becoming we have the potential to have access to this vast storehouse of wisdom. We all have that potential to have access to that storehouse of wisdom and to be connected to our source. And for me, our source is just as much the earth as it is spirit, because it is the earth that provides us food. It's the earth that provides us with oxygen. It's the earth that provides us with water. It is the earth that provides us with the elemental particles that make up our physical existence. And we are becoming a culture that is even less connected. As we get more connected electronically, we're becoming, in many cases, less connected to our own true nature. And I think that one of the other things that I want to mention about my own journey was I actually ended up becoming initiated as a shamaness in the Peruvian tradition. So I do weave in Peruvian work. I have crystals in my work. I work with sound. I was naturally ordained with sound and sound therapy. And all of these tools that are in the toolbox come into play in this dance of creating a vision and bringing a message out into the world that is meant to help people become more connected. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, Jan, anyone who comes to work with me and who would identify themselves as a messenger with a capital M is somebody who is here with the big message. And the big message, you know, they may have a message about sexuality. They may have a message about making money. They may have a message about, you know, becoming empowered as a woman. They may have a message about fixing the educational system or taking care of autistic children or fixing the healthcare system or the governmental systems or the corporate systems. They may be here for any one of those, you know, particular reasons because they were uniquely designed and experienced with the capacity to address those areas, but they're really here with the great big message, which is replace fear with love.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, yeah. At the end of the day, that's the message. Replace
right.
fear with love.
Absolutely, and replace being intimidated with being intimate.
Oh, I like that.
That one's yum.
I like that one. Well, you know, Amethyst, you talk about in some of your work about feeling safe and powerful.
Mm.
So would you talk a little bit about that, and then I want to turn it back to Diana with the same question, how to feel, because you both brought up the challenges that people face, and some of that, I mean, I know for me some of that was religion. You know, if you do any kind of anything that is not strictly based in whatever that religious philosophy is, then you are owned by Satan or you're doing Satan's work. You know,
damn
like you.
Damn to hell, girl. You're damned
exactly.
to hell. Lake of fire, lake of fire.
So there's that, you know, that's one of the challenges. Okay, we've gone over several of the challenges, but how do you feel safe and powerful enough to be able to step out and deliver your message, to do your work, to be intimate with yourself and with others?
Well, and this starts, and this is where the mentorship comes in. This really is where the mentorship comes in, because most people are not equipped to create sacred space for themselves because they just are not familiar with it. And the sacred spaces that we have been familiarized with, as you just indicated, are usually connected to religious organizations that have overlaid the core message with all kinds of rules and regulations and judgments that have nothing to do with the core message at all, and in fact are antithetical to the core message. So for me, the first sacred space I went into was a yoga class, and the woman who was the teacher, who emanated peace, her capacity to hold her own power was sufficient to be able to create a bigger space or circle of power to hold the entire class in. So for me, whenever I'm speaking, my intention is not only to hold my own power, but also to open up a space that is going to hold everyone who is listening. And when you're a global messenger like I am, often I might have, you know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people who I'm serving from my own sacred space, because I do most of my speaking virtually and prosper in my PJs from home. My work, though, in delivering the message is to intentionally create that sacred space. And once you have experienced being in a sacred space, you're able to literally start to let down from the fight or flight and the anxiety that is promoted in our society. When you're in a sacred space, you literally feel held. You feel held by the earth. You feel held by spirit. And you feel held by the mentor or facilitator that you're working with. And I can tell that Diana is outstanding at holding sacred space. Otherwise, she wouldn't be doing what she's been doing for as long as she's been doing it. There's no more sacred space than that. There, you know, sex and money are the two places where people don't like to talk about it, right? Still.
True. Yeah.
And so in her case, she's holding that sacred space for sexuality. In my case, I'm holding the space right now on this particular call for money being something that is sacred. And receiving money
sacred?
In exchange
whoa, whoa, whoa.
Sacred.
Wait, whoa, whoa. Wait a minute. Money is sacred?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, oh my
goodness.
That's
like saying sex is sacred. Okay. Go for it. Go for it, Amethyst. Tell us how money is sacred.
Money is sacred. Money absolutely is sacred, just like everything else on this planet is sacred. Money is also sacred. And part of the intent of this time that I have with you is to help you make a shift from being scared about money, scared to talk about it, scared to claim it, scared to own it, scared to have it in your hot little hands, scared to disseminate it, scared to invest it in yourself and your message and your vision and your dream, and really shift that frequency so that you can see that money is just another form of love. Money touches everything that we love.
That's true.
Everything. Even, you know,
that's
yesterday
true.
I was on a drive yesterday. I've got to share this story with you so that you can see how even in nature, money is touching nature. I went on a drive yesterday down to Rockport, Massachusetts. And as part of my journey, I let myself get lost. I was getting lost because I got a message from my upstairs team to just get lost. So I said, okay, I'm going to just let myself drive today and get lost and see what I find. And as I was driving, I found a sign that said Crane Beach. So I said, okay, I'm going to just go see what that is because I have never been there before and it sounds interesting. I drove to the entryway to Crane Beach, and as I was driving to the entryway of Crane Beach, there's a castle also there. There was a big sign from this group that is a preservation group that is, and the sign, I don't remember the exact words, so I'm going to paraphrase the sign, but what they said was something along the lines of holding this space forever. You know, like they are, that organization, that group of people loved Crane Beach so much and its immense beauty. And the salt marshes were on both sides of me for like miles. And the cranes were swimming and flying in. And it was just gorgeous. And someone, some visionary, saw that piece of property and said, we need to save this and hold it sacred. And it takes money to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So money touches everything that matters. If you're a messenger, if you think money isn't sacred, then you're going to reject money coming in to serve your message. Money is in service to us. Money is here to facilitate an exchange of energy between people. When people pay Diana to go to her intimate retreats, they give her money in exchange for her message. When people pay to work with me to get clear and crystallize their message and claim their value, they are exchanging with me. And the money goes right out again. For the most part, for most people, the money comes in and it goes right back out again. So it's this beautiful, that's why they call it currency. It's a current of sacred energy that is flowing through your hands. And if there's anyone here who is a healer type, my invitation to you is imagine what the world would be like if you created so much wealth and so much money came through your hands and was, you know, pooled up in reservoirs so that it could do big things. You know, Oprah builds schools, right? Because she allows her money to pool up so that she has a big pile of it to do something really meaningful and important. What would happen if love and gratitude went into every single bill, every single coin, every single transaction that you engaged in? What would it be like when the money system becomes blessed with love and gratitude and filled with love and gratitude and cleansed of all of the memes and the thought forms and the beliefs and the patterns of behavior that say that there's something wrong with this money? Money's great.
I love your expressions, the way you speak on this. It's just so wonderful, and every single thing you say, the word sex and money can be interchanged.
Right.
I mean, it's just amazing, isn't it, Jan?
It is. I'm still amazed at the commonality between what both of you are saying, because I expected things to be quite different. You know, the focus is
right. It is so similar because people have the same attitude towards sex that they do toward money. You rarely will say to someone, you know, you've met or even a long-term friend, somebody, you know, well, how much money do you have? You know, people don't ask that, right? Or how much sex do you get? You know, they're taboo topics. They're taboo topics, and that makes it difficult. Now, I'm not saying that we should ask those questions necessarily. I'm just saying that within ourselves and certainly within our own lives, to be able to embrace and feel, as you were suggesting, safe and powerful with the sacredness of all of that. And everything truly is sacred, everything. Our voices, our touch, our eye gaze, the money that passes through our hands, the beach itself, it's all sacred. And how wonderful that is.
Well, it's really delightful to me to discover how much, well, even the language that you're using can be applied to each one, to money and to sex. And these are two such powerful topics in our world. You know, what did they say?
Sex,
the three
money,
things
and power.
You don't talk.
They're the top three. Sex,
yeah,
money,
right.
And power.
Right.
Yeah, the other thing that's so similar, I think, is that, you know, you could take a lot of different approaches, you know, to mentoring around financial success and mentoring around the relationship area. But the both of us are speaking to body-centered presence.
Absolutely. To that marriage between the physical and the spiritual.
Absolutely. And that's one of the reasons I love using Tai Chi, is that it does teach you to be grounded. I mean, that's part of the whole, it's a very rooted in the earth kind of practice. So it's really, you know, no matter how much the energy begins flowing upward through the system, up from the root chakra and moving up through the system, to remember the roots and to keep going back and keep connecting so that we have a complete and balanced flow and not just going off into the ether somewhere and thinking that that's... Oh, I thought of another thing while you were talking, that it's something I saw on a T-shirt once, and it kind of applies, again, the words can be changed between sex and money. The quote was... sex is not the answer. You know, the same thing you could say, money is not the answer.
Yeah.
Right?
No, it really isn't.
Right.
What
then
the
next line under that was, sex is the question. Yes is the answer.
Nice.
All right.
Nice.
And when when you were talking about this, it's like, oh yeah, it's the same thing. You know, money's not the answer. You know, it's the question. You know, are you comfortable? Are you going to be open to it? Yes is the answer. We need a yes. You know, if we keep saying no to finances, that's not going to benefit our lives.
Well, and not only that, but I think a lot of times we don't say yes to ourselves.
No.
So One thing that I have noticed happens for a lot of messengers and spiritual entrepreneurs and just entrepreneurs in general is that they have to get through and get over the fear of investing in themselves and their own message. And so, you know, it's really about not just saying yes to the money or yes to the sex, but yes, I'm worth it.
Yes,
so worth it and so deserving of awesome sex. I am so worth it and so deserving of a relationship where I can deeply gaze into my lover's eyes and we can go ecstatic together. And I am so worth piles of money coming in and being blessed by me and all of the wonderful things that I can create and serve other people with that money. How yummy can that be? So just saying yes is for me, step one, and yes, I'm worth it. Is mm-hmm. an even more powerful affirmation from my point of view.
Yeah, it is. I agree. Well, ladies, we are starting to get down to not quite the wire yet. But we've still got a little bit of time. But what I'd like to do before we get into any deeper conversation right now or any more conversation is have you both share with us your contact information, how to get in touch with you, what courses you offer, your website information, etc. So who would like to begin?
I'll go first. This is Amethyst, if that's
okay.
Okay.
All right.
So I have a couple things. First of all, you can get in touch with me at theempoweredmessenger.com. That is my main website. For everybody who's listening here, I have some special gifts. You can go to theempoweredmessenger.com/gifts, G-I-F-T-S. One of the gifts I have is an audio called When Money's Tight, and it could be when your vagina's tight, I suppose. We're going to talk about the sex thing, right? When money's tight, and it describes some of the sacred acts that you can take to get back into right relationship with money. For beginners to my work, I do have an amazing course called the Money, Magic, and Miracles Clarity Course. That can be found at theempoweredmessenger.com/money course. And I also work with people, individuals as well as small groups, helping them to crystallize their message and claim their value. And when you get to the gifts page, there's a place for people who can apply there if they're interested in having a conversation with me. So if you feel like you are a messenger, if you feel like you need some help because you're overgiving or your fear of being pursued or you are challenged with mastering power, please feel free to fill out that application. I only take a certain number of people based on my schedule, because I'm worth having some time off and going to the beach and lying in the sun and taking pleasure in my own life. So I have a limited number of people that I can serve through a one-on-one Message to Millions map session, and that's why I ask you to fill out the application. The application, just doing that and not pushing send, is going to give you some information if you are somebody who is kind of in the space of people that I'm serving, somebody with a message who is out there trying to put themselves together and get their message out to millions of people or even thousands of people to start with. Those are the people that are going to be best served by what I have to offer. And sometimes that means it's somebody who's in transition. I just finished working last month with a client who I needed to help her claim her value. She is here to help in family relationships. And she and her husband are building a business, and she's been working full-time and is the main breadwinner in the family. So her energy was really split between her full-time day job and trying to build this business. And part of our work together was helping her to get really clear so that she could claim her value and understand that what she has to offer into the marketplace in this family relationship business that she's trying to create has sufficient value that she could safely let go of her old job so that she can focus all of her energy and power on taking the steps, the action steps necessary in order to get this off the ground. So you don't necessarily have to be fully in a blossoming business yet. But if you're having challenges in those areas, please feel free to feel free to fill out that application, and we'll see if we can get you into my queue. And the other way that you can get me is the old-fashioned way. You can pick up the golden phone and call me at 603-594-2744. So the people who are really ready to make a difference in their life and really ready to step out and create more money and get their message heard by more people are going to be running for the golden phone and picking that up, because those are the action takers. Anybody who picks up the phone and calls me is a real action taker.
All right. So, Diana, how do people connect with you, and what courses are you offering?
Okay. The best way to reach us also is both the internet, intimacyretreats.com. That's I-N-T-I-M-A-C-Y, retreats, plural, intimacyretreats.com. If you get off the call and you don't remember, just type, you know, Intimacy Retreats in Florida, look for us. You can Google us, you'll find, or Google Diana Daffner, you'll find me. We're on Facebook, Intimacy Retreats everywhere. Okay, you'll find us. Intimacy.
Okay.
IntimacyRetreats.com. The phone is also a sure way. You can register for our workshops either by phone or online. The phone number is 941-349-6804, 941-349-6804, and that's in Florida, all right, so we keep normal daytime hours. And what we offer, okay, primarily we offer intimacy retreats. These are the workshops for couples. They're for couples who are ready and able to spend a weekend celebrating their love. One couple said, you know, you're always saying that your workshops are for couples who are in pretty stable relationships, and you don't know how bad we were when we got to you and how great we were when we left. You know, so we don't always know. We don't always know. We don't do an intake. You know, people will ask. I'll certainly talk with people about to see whether it feels right for them or not. And there are some couples, you know, if they can't stand to be in the same room together at the moment, this is not a good idea to come to a workshop together, okay? That we might want to do more private work for some while. We also offer private retreats, but primarily they're weekends, and they get booked up. They're small. They're intimate, and they're part of that creating sacred space is the workshop itself. The retreat really creates a sacred space. There is no sexual activity, in case anyone was wondering. There is no sexual activity in the workshop space. There is no interaction between couples. It's a very safe, comfortable place. We do send you back to your hotel room for what we call home play assignments, and you know, we keep those are sexual in nature. That's the naked part of it, but not during the group workshop. And so we have right now our schedule is online, or you can send for a free brochure. You can request it by phone or by email. You can sign up. There's the schedule. There's lots of testimonials, lots of people writing about their experience, trying to help other people. You know, it's in a sense, everybody, you're so right. Amethyst, when you talk about people who have an experience, an opening, a spiritual awakening, something wonderful, and they want to share it. We have so many people who, you know, want to tell everybody to come to the intimacy retreat after they've been here. It's really a wonderful thing that they like to do that. And so that's the best way. Going to the website, intimacyretreats.com, you can email me from there or calling. You can get a free brochure. And if you do write me or call me, you can also request a free copy of a ceremony that we created for couples. It's a tea ceremony, actually. It's called the Tea Ceremony for Lovers. It's actually available on Kindle, but you can call me for a free copy and or write. Just let me know that you heard on the radio about the tea ceremony for couples and you'd like a copy of it. So I guess that's it.
Well, that's pretty awesome.
Okay.
From both of you. You both have so much to offer, and I thank you for that. So before we end our show completely, I want to just let everybody know as well that you can contact me again at jan@purposetalkradio.com. And you can go to purposetalkradio.com and find out who the guests are for the past and also for the future. And you'll be able to listen to some of the archived shows there as well. You can sign up to donate, and you can also sign up to be a sponsor of the show. And you can, what was the other thing? Oh, Cindy. Remember about Cindy's wonderful Positive News Day today and Positive News Month, this whole month of July. So go to positivenewsday.com and post your positive news. It can be just something that's really wonderful in your life, or it can be get in touch with your local news people and have them go and share there as well. You can go to Positive News Day page on Facebook as well. And then remember to go to TrueTrinity.com and be able to purchase, listen to, and purchase also the theme song, I Am Who I Am, that is just a fabulous song. There's also another one there called Be the Difference, and you'll be able to listen to the one for the Positive News Day theme song as well. Next week, our guests are Golda Retsky and Leah Shapiro, two more feminine spiritual trailblazers, and they're going to be, well, a little bit different from our guests this week. I'm hoping they'll be just as interesting. In fact, I know they will be. But Amethyst, Diana, I want to thank you very much for joining me today. This has been an absolutely delightful visit with the both of you, and I thank you for all that you've shared with us.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you both.
Thank you
for having
me. All right,
and I hope you'll join us on the Positive Perfect Purpose Talk Radio Conversations group on Facebook, and be able to post some of your links and your information there as well. And
do you want that in the thread for today's show, or do you
sure.
want that separately?
In the thread for today's show would be perfect.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you so
all
much
right.
for that opportunity.
Oh, absolutely. And thank you. And remember, everybody, today is the card is Festival Day, Positive News Day, and it has the mother holding the infant. And if you have an infant that you are birthing, whether it is a child infant, a human infant, an animal infant, if you've got animals who are birthing, or whether it's a project that you're birthing, that you are protected and loved by both the angelic realm, the earthly realm, the realm of magic with the gnomes, and the realm of earth with all the flowers. So once again, I want to thank you all for being with us today, and I wish you soul blessings, and we'll see you again next week, same time, same place. Soul blessings to you all.
I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna
I'm
be.
Gonna.
Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.